Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about Syracuse football's change to a 3-3-5 defense and the effect of COVID on fall sports. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Brad Bierman. And our guest today is our great friend and former Syracuse linebacker, Jake Flaherty. Jake, how are you today? Thanks so much for coming back on the program.
Doing great, Wes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Jake, it's great to speak to you, and we'll get you started on this one. It's been a crazy 4 months or so. Catch us up on what you've been up to since we spoke to you around this time last year and what you've been up to during the quarantine.
Well, I think when I spoke to you last year, I was actually still living in New York City, and I've since moved to Nashville, Tennessee, got married and bought a house down there. And, you know, I've been down there for about 2 years. My wife's a teacher there, and I'm, of course, songwriting. And just, you know, just very happy to have a new change of pace. It's obviously a huge contrast from, you know, living in the city to, you know, the Nashville life. But it's a welcome change. How are you doing?
Yeah, Jake, I'm doing about as well as I can be given what's going on with COVID. You know, just congratulations on the move and getting married. Really happy to hear you're doing well and you're staying healthy.
Yeah, and as far as the quarantine stuff, we've actually been away for the last couple of weeks, just taking a little summer break, and so it kind of feels normal right now just as we've been on the move. But certainly the last few months of quarantine from March to, you know, March, April, May, June, you know, four months of pretty much living inside and, you know, getting out when you can and you know, trying to find ways to stay active and, you know, definitely been listening to a lot of podcasts, that's for sure. A lot of Netflix too at night. It's been nice. I can't say that I've hated the quarantine, but, you know, more importantly, I'm really hoping that, you know, for the football communities around the country, you know, especially the seniors and stuff like that. I'm really hoping that, you know, the powers that be can piece together a season here. So kind of looking forward to seeing what the ACC officials are going to be doing.
Jake, you talked about listening to podcasts. I hope you listen to this one too. And on that note, let's talk a little Syracuse football. When you were a senior in 2008, you were defensive captain and finished 10th in the Big East in tackles. You know linebacking as well as anyone. In the offseason, Syracuse's defense switched to a 3-3-5 scheme. What does that mean for a relatively young linebacking core?
I think it's actually a fantastic move. If you really take a look at the 3-3-5 defense, it's relatively simple. As opposed to, you know, let's say when we were, you know, maybe the defenses we were running at Syracuse may be a little bit more complicated. But, you know, both obviously very effective. But the 3-3-5, I think, will really highlight some of the natural abilities of some of these younger linebackers, like you were saying. And, you know, they got some guys out of, you know, 6'1", 215, the young man there that we were mentioning. And, the other fellow from Canada who is, you know, a rangy outside linebacker type who, you know, excelled on special teams. And, you know, I think those guys are obviously going to be a big part of, excelled on special teams and, you know, in addition to his regular snaps and regular play. But I think those guys are going to be, you know, just big parts of the puzzle there when they implement the 3-3-5. And in general, I think it's a great change.
Yeah, speaking of new defensive scheme, one of the things that you experienced during your time at SU was a coaching change, and specifically a new defensive coordinator change. Can you describe what that was like in light of Tony White coming to Syracuse as a new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think it's really just going to be a matter of, you know, the kids just buying into his philosophy. And, you know, he obviously has amazing experience and was a former player himself, so he seems to be a player's coach. And, you know, obviously it was a needed change, and, you know, there were some defensive issues last year, especially pertaining to the running game. And I think this 3-3-5, the kids are really going to enjoy playing in it because it's very downhill. You know, there's not a ton of it's not too complicated. And I think it's going to really open up some of these younger guys, these younger linebackers, and get them coming downhill. And I'm just really excited to see what they do.
Let's talk specific linebackers now. Syracuse has two very different kind of linebackers. You have a guy like Tyrell Richards, 6'4", 234 pounds, a converted defensive lineman. Then you have someone like Mykel Jones, 6', 211, more of a quick linebacker. They're two very different kinds of builds. In your experience, where do these two guys fit into the 3-3-5 scheme?
I think that's a great question. And Wes, you're probably familiar with Rich Rodriguez's success, you know, running the 3-3-5 at West Virginia. And, you know, they had a guy there, and I think I was a true freshman when he played, but this guy was their middle linebacker, okay? And so typically in that 3-3-5 defense, your two outside linebackers are going to be some of the best athletes on the field. So I think the young man, you said he was 6'4", 230-something, I believe. Where I would probably center him, you know, he seems like a little bit of a hybrid player. I would probably want him, you know, in what is called the Rob position, or the right outside linebacker position. And I don't know if Coach White's going to be stacking them, but that's the type of guy that's going to have to take on isolation with the fullback. And then, you know, on the other side, the other outside linebacker on the other side is somewhat similar. I think you want rangy guys that are, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but you might, you know, with the way West Virginia ran it, they would have two outside guys that were great athletes, could really run sideline to sideline. And then their middle linebacker, believe it or not, was actually a little bit smaller. At one point they had a guy who was 6', 200 pounds playing middle linebacker in Division I. I know I'm making probably too many West Virginia references, but, you know, Coach Rodriguez obviously had some success there. So the young man who's, you know, 6', 211, I think he would be great as the middle linebacker. And, you know, what they're really going to need, what's super critical, is that they're going to need a zero technique, which is also known as the nose tackle, who will be lined up head on that center. And obviously it's a hard world. You know, he's going to have to play those both A gaps, and the Mike linebacker in turn will have to play off of that nose, depending on what kind of stunts they have going on and what kind of flow. The Mike linebacker will also be required to really come downhill on, you know, those guards and ear hold them, try to collapse holes, preventing those vertical seams in those two A gaps. And I think given those two dimensions of those two linebackers, I would put the young man middle, and then the other gentleman at outside, and, you know, find another guy and for the left outside linebacker position who's similar to that right guy, and making sure that your nose guard is on point.
That's great analysis, Jake, and we'll get you out of here on this one. We were talking pre-show about how we're not sure what's going to happen with fall football, but let's just say everything goes off as planned with a full schedule. How do you see Syracuse football doing in 2020?
Well, I think it's going to be super exciting, you know, for the players, for the coaches, and for the fans, you know, because I know there's some talk of, you know, obviously Cuse is in the Atlantic And then I know there's some talk of sprinkling in some of the coastal teams, and then there's some talk of, sprinkling in teams based on proximity. And then, of course, if Notre Dame is in the mix, I think that would be fantastic. Syracuse historically has always played them, and, there's been some good outcomes, and there's been some not-so-good outcomes. But nonetheless, I think it's great for the program. I think they have great odds. I think the 4-3-5 is going to make a huge difference, especially when it comes to stopping the running game, and especially like we said with some linebackers that are maybe a little bit younger, and then also we just need the offense to come to play and score points, and certainly they're capable of doing that, and I just think it's going to be a great year, and I'm really praying and hoping for the kids that they get to play this last year. And obviously, there's the potential that give them an extra year, or a medical red shirt, or a pandemic red shirt, whatever you want to call it. But just praying they can all play and be injury free.
Jake, thank you so much for coming back on the program. Again, our great friend and former Syracuse linebacker, Jake Flaherty. Jake, great football analysis. Congratulations again on getting married and the move. We'll speak with you soon.
Thanks a lot, Wes. Appreciate it, man.
Really enjoyed speaking with Jake, and I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online editor-in-chief and my very good friend, Brad Bierman. Brad, how are you today?
I am doing well, Wes. Thank you.
Brad, we're at the end of July now. We're still really not sure how the 2020 fall football season is going to play out, if it even happens at all. ACC Media Day was postponed. The ACC schools are meeting this week to potentially lay down plans for this fall. Brad, in an ideal world, how would this play out in the fall?
Certainly in the best case scenario, Wes, that anyone involved in college athletics wants is to play the 2020 season, obviously. And already we're at the point where we've seen cancellations from some of the smaller conferences. We've seen the Big Ten and Pac-12 already move forward with a conference-only schedule proposal. So the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are next. And as far as the ACC goes, well, they would also probably at this point to play the games, to take advantage of all the revenue that football produces, likely go along with that conference-only reduced season schedule, even delaying it into September if they have to, even pushing it back a little further into November or December even for the conference championship game, keeping those season-ending ACC-SEC games, which get huge TV ratings, which, again, is part of that overall financial picture. Also now inviting Notre Dame into the ACC, as the Irish have already had three of their games canceled for the upcoming season and already have six ACC teams on the schedule. No doubt would like to have Notre Dame involved in playing eight or even nine ACC games. So the ideal scenario, of course, is clinging to the hope that these games can be played, that these games can be played safely for the student-athletes and everyone associated with the programs, and at the same time understanding that there's going to likely, in most parts of the country, be no spectators in attendance, which will really set automatically a different atmosphere for that. So the reality, the fantasy, if you will, the best wishes for college administrators is to move ahead with the 2020 season. But there are so many question marks surrounding that obviously we'll see what the decisions come for through the ACC athletic directors this week. We'll see with the recommendations they pass on to the ACC school presidents, with Syracuse's own Kent Severud being the chair of the ACC board. And we'll see also how their interactions with the NCAA Board of Governors dictates ideally what they would like to happen for 2020 college football.
Now, Brad, we just talked about the best case or ideal scenario, but we live in reality. So how do you see the actual football season playing out?
I put it this way, Wes. Am I tone deaf? Are these folks tone deaf? I see absolutely no way that college football can be played this fall. And let's start with the fact that these are student athletes. These are not professional NFL players. They're college students. And what do college students like to do? They like to socialize. And if anything that COVID-19 has told us, we have to practice social distancing. the exact opposite of what college students like to do. And unlike the NFL, you cannot create a bubble atmosphere as was used in the basketball tournament this summer, as what the NBA is doing in Orlando. And we've already seen with Major League Baseball after just the first weekend of the season, when you travel around the country, when you have players go out at night after games because they're professional athletes and that's what they do, this virus is so contagious, it's going to spread. And some folks don't even know they have the virus, don't even understand they might be spreading it, and certainly don't understand the risks that are involved, that older people that have maybe, you know, less of an immune system, and all those elements that go into the medical aspect of this. So I don't see any way other than clinging to the hope by the NCAA, the athletic directors such as Syracuse's John Wildack and his peers in the conference and conference leadership, that realistically they can play college football in the fall of 2020. I think it really goes back that until there is a vaccine, until there's medical clearance that we're, you know, moving forward from the lives that we've all had to live since March, that you can have a contact sport be played and that you can involve college students who are going to be out and in mingling with people. And then if you throw in the travel aspect, well, every state has their own regulations as to who has to quarantine after traveling from one location to another. And that differs between the Northeast, that may differ between the Southeast, Midwest, et cetera. So when you look at all of those elements, I just simply do not see a way that they can play football this fall. And the other element I look at is this. Isn't it paramount about the health and safety of the student athletes, the coaching staff, the administrators, anyone involved in a university setting involved with college athletics? Safety and health has to be paramount. There simply is no dollar figure that can be put on that. Realizing the huge tens of millions of dollars each school is losing in Power Five football, understanding the hundreds of millions of dollars involved in TV contracts with conferences and all the programming that it provides, the entertainment that it provides. Just do not see that happening until we're along the lines of some sort of medical breakthrough, a vaccine, where the health and experts guide us through the way we live our lives.
Brad, we are right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
Kind of extending that same theme, Wes, I look at what some of the college basketball coaches, including SU's Jim Boeheim, have made statements this summer about starting the college basketball season, maybe delaying it till around Thanksgiving, taking advantage
Jim,
of the fact
of
that
show,
students at
thoughts.
Many campuses, if they are indeed coming back for in-person classroom courses, will be going home for Thanksgiving for the rest of the semester. It's been suggested that maybe moving the college basketball season back to Thanksgiving to take advantage of no other students being on campus is the way to go. But alluding right back to what I was saying about the risk element, I just do not see how even college basketball can be played just like college football until we move forward from a medical standpoint. So I'm trying to grasp my hands around the fact that for the first time since 1943-44, when America was involved in World War II, there will be no Syracuse football or basketball played in the 2020-21 academic year. And just making that statement for someone that has followed Syracuse athletics since 1975 really boggles my mind as to how the whole world has changed with COVID-19. And as we've drilled down specifically talking here as it relates to college athletics and Syracuse athletics.
Brad, my closing thoughts are on the NBA and specifically Carmelo Anthony. The NBA, like all sports, has been on hiatus since March, but we're finally going to get an NBA restart this week. Carmelo Anthony and the Portland Trailblazers will finish out the regular season seeding games beginning this Friday, July 31st, against Memphis in the NBA bubble. There's been lots of buzz about Carmelo Anthony being in the best shape of his life. I'm really looking forward to getting to watch some high-level basketball on TV again. That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang reminding you that I think a dartboard that makes a little ouch sound whenever a dart hits it would be a good invention. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.